The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded upon rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. The Gospel of the Lord. Be to God. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two houses. Nothing seems to distinguish these houses by outward appearance. Walls, doors, windows, roofs. But it's what lies underneath. For Christ speaks of these two houses, and Christ speaks of their foundation. We know foundations are important. We can hire architects and draw up the best plans. We can hire the best craftsmen and tradespeople. We can buy the best materials. But if our foundation is flawed, if the ground is too soft, if it is poured immaturely, if it is crooked, soon the house will crack, the doors won't shut, the windows won't open, and the house will not age well. Foundations are important. And foundations that Christ talks about today. Christ speaks of these two houses. One house is built on rock. Storms come. Rivers flow. All sorts of weather assails this house. But at the end of the day, the house is left standing. It is strong. It is proud. It is standing firm on its rocky foundation. The second house is built on sandy soil. The rivers roar, the rains come, the storms beat it relentlessly, and the house falls. Christ says it has a mighty fall. The house collapses. Christ speaks of two houses. But what Christ is really speaking about is two choices. What will you base your life upon? The solid foundation or the sinking sand? These are the two choices that Christ gives us. That can be difficult for our ears to hear. Black and white. Yes or no. Two defined choices. That doesn't sit well with many people, because often we are people with shades of gray. And it is no different when it comes to our choice of religion. We often treat our faith like a buffet. Well, I like grace. I'll take that. I like forgiveness. I'll take that. I like the idea of heaven. I'll take that. I like the idea of angels. I'll take that. I don't like the idea of sin. I think I'll skip that. Good Friday kind of troubles me. I don't think I'll really buy into that. And then maybe we'll go to the dessert bar and we'll pick up a few more things through our faith. I kind of like the idea of reincarnation. I'll take a little bit of that. And, karma sounds pretty good, you know. People get what they deserve. I'll take a little bit of that. And judging by how often the paper prints horoscopes, people must believe in those. Okay, well, I'm a Capricorn. I'll take a little bit of that. Heck, we may even believe in fortune cookies. And yet we'll call ourselves Christian. But do we think about it? These things are antithetical to our faith. The idea of reincarnation, the idea of karma, The idea of horoscopes lies in contradiction to the world, to the creation that God has set before us. We like the shades of gray. But to us today, Christ offers us black and white. Christ offers us a choice. What will be the foundation of your life? What will be the foundation of the spiritual house you build? By all accounts in this parable, the houses are the same. Both men labored and toiled to build nice houses. Both houses seem to have strong walls. After all, they both stood up to some measure of storm. Both houses have doors. Both houses have a roof. People seem to work hard to build these houses. But that's not what Christ is concerned about. Christ is concerned about the foundation of these houses. And that's a word to all of us. Because we can build all sorts of spiritual houses. We can look busy preparing all sorts of things. We can do all sorts of good things. We can give money to charity. We can volunteer for service organizations. We can work at the Senior Citizen Center. We can do Meals on Wheels. And we can build a very nice spiritual house. But Christ is concerned with what underpins our motivation. Why do we do what we do? Do we do what we do because of how it makes us feel? Do we give to charity? Do we volunteer our time and talent because it makes us feel good? Do we volunteer and give to charity because other people thank us? Do we volunteer and give to charity so we might get a plaque, or we might get our name on a wall somewhere, or our picture in the newspaper? Well, if that's the reason that we do those things, who are we really serving? Are we serving God? Are we serving our neighbor? Or are we really ultimately just serving ourselves? Christ is intimately concerned with our motivation. We can build a beautiful spiritual house. Our neighbors can think good things about us. The people sitting beside us in the pew can think good things about us. The pastor can think good things about us. The community can think good things about us. Oh, look at her, how much she gives. Look at him, how nice he is. Look at them, how much they contribute, how often they volunteer, how much they do. But Christ is concerned with what's underneath all that. Why do you do what you do? Is it because it gives you warm and fuzzies? Is it because people think good things about you? Is it because people thank you? Why do you do what you do? Because Christ is ultimately interested in your relationship. In your relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with the living God? Do you do these things because God calls you to? Do you do these things because you want to bless others as Christ has blessed you? That doesn't mean they can't make you feel good. That doesn't mean you can't appreciate the thanks of others, but that is not your motivation. That is an offshoot of your original calling, a calling founded upon Christ, a calling that you experience in your relationship with the risen Lord and Savior. What I do in Jesus' name. This is the calling of Christ. This is Christ's criticism in today's gospel reading. Christ says, on that last day, many people will holler my name. Jesus, Jesus, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Christ saying, yeah, you built a great spiritual house. You said the right words in public. You did the right things in the community. But you never really got in a relationship with me. You had all the parts, but you built them on the wrong foundation. You had the wood, you had the flooring, you had the shingles, you had the rafters, you had the nails, you had the hammer, you had the toilet, but you put it in the wrong spot. You based it upon the wrong reasons. And Christ says, I will deny you. Those are strong words. There's no gray in those words. There's a choice in those words. What is the foundation of your faith? What is the foundation of your action, of your reason for service in the world? Are you constantly looking inward? How does this make me feel? What does this garner for me? If I do this, what will others think of me? My sister did this, my neighbor did that, my husband did this, I'm going to one-up him and do this. If we're constantly looking inward, According to Luther, that's the definition of sin. When we curve our hearts inside, when we look for our own needs, our own advantages, what we can get for ourselves. A relationship with Christ, a relationship with the living Savior, calls us out of ourselves and calls us into the world. I have all I need. I have salvation. I have a knowledge of Jesus. I don't need the thanks of anyone. I don't need a pat on the back. I have all I need from God. I do these things because God has given them so graciously unto me. What is the foundation of our spiritual homes? We can build pretty houses, beautifully adorned with nice landscaping. People can drive by and say, look how nice that looks. Things must be perfect there. But it might be slowly sinking. The storms of life might be coming. How will we stand up to them? What will be our protection? What will we cling to? These are the questions that Christ asks of us. The storms of life. I won't lie to you this morning, and I think you know it's true in your own life. There are many people who have no thought of church. There are many people who have no thought of Christ. There are many people who think no more about the world than maybe themselves and their immediate family. And these are people who live happy lives. These are people that have fulfilling jobs. And these are people that seem to weather the storms of life just fine. Diseases. Divorce. Rebellious children. The loss of a job, you name it. They seem to get through. So what are these storms of life Christ talks about? Those can be some of the storms of life. Those storms will sink some people. Those storms will crash some people's down, some people's house down. But there are many people who will go smiling to the grave, knowing a happy, fulfilling, productive, what they would consider blessed life. And what do we make of that in light of Christ's words? The storm that Christ speaks of. This coming storm, this violent storm, the storm that attacks the house, is much more than disunity in a family, is much more than just sickness or illness. This coming storm that Christ speaks of, if we look carefully in today's reading, is the final judgment. For Christ speaks of that last day. On that last day, you will say to me, Jesus, Jesus, and I will say, I do not know you. I will deny you. That is the real storm of life. The final storm. The day when we all stand in account before God. The day when we rise with all the saints and all who have gone before us. When the heavens open up. When the new Jerusalem is about to come down. That is the final storm. And who will live to stand that? This existence we have here now, as Paul says, is temporary. It's fleeting. It's filled with sin. It's filled with pain. It's filled with torment. The old Adam clings to the world. Things still bind us and bond us. But we have a heavenly knowledge. And we in Christ are eternal beings. And we will be freed from that. But there is a storm to come. A storm that's played out in Revelation. A storm that we get a hint of as we read the account of Noah and his family in Genesis. A storm that will purify the world with righteousness. And that's when our foundation will be tested. What have we built upon? Do we have a relationship with our living Lord and Savior? Or have we just built a beautiful house on sinking sand? Notice in Genesis, Noah. Noah was a righteous man to be accounted in his generation. In other words, Noah is the best guy living. And what's the best thing they can say about Noah? He walks with God. That's a relationship with God. Walking with God. Walking with Jesus. A friend who is constantly beside you. Someone who lifts you, upholds you, counsels you, guides you, and at times rebukes you when you have erred or fallen into darkness. This is the choice that Christ has put in front of us. The firm foundation. The choice of God. Light. Blessing. Life. Or the way of the world. Darkness. Sinfulness. Struggle. This is how Christ approaches us. This is the decision we must make. What is the foundation of our lives? What is the foundation of our relationships with our family, our neighbors, our community, our church? And what's the nature of our foundation in and amongst ourselves? How are we called to do things? Where do we turn when the storms of life come in and surround us? And how will we be found standing on that last day? That is a choice that Christ has given unto us. Life or death. Amen.